This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام صدق الله العظيم. So yesterday we concluded on a very very emotional note. You see people at an airport, and I relate to this very often in common. So people will greet at home, then they will greet at the check-in counter, then they will greet at the security gate. Then you'll start seeing now you're in the queue and people are holding you up because kisses have been blown from one end to the other end. And sorry, sir, can you go? And then, you know, it's like as if there's no, network after you go in and you cannot talk. So you got to have your last bit. And then people are waving and blowing kisses and doing all the extra things. And, you know, these are emotions and attachments. As humans, from a psychological perspective, we know we are social creatures. We have attachment to each other. And here he is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just try to begin. I'm not going to even say imagine, because it's beyond our capacity to grasp how challenging this moment was for Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Mu'adh, go and do this, and when you come back, it will be my grave and it will be my masjid. Mu'adh, it will be my grave and it will be my... You're talking to a congregation of Sahaba, the likes of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away, he said, Allah sees my vision. Sees my vision. فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ. Right? Allah, I don't want to see anyone else after the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you're talking to a group of people who were so close, so attached. مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدْ مِنَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan said, never in my life I've seen rulers, kings, monarchs, you know, display of love of this caliber is unprecedented in the annals of history. And yet he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So can you imagine the caliber of people that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had prepared? What type of people he had prepared? And really, we need to ask ourselves, how much have we prepared ourselves? How much have we prepared for our own death? How much have we prepared for the death of our near and dear ones? And how many times have we engaged in these type of discussions? So we move on to this. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then told Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, لا تبكي يا معاذ. Oh Mu'adh, do not cry. Do not cry. وفي الحديث إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معاذ باقتراب أجله وأنه يمكن ألا يلقاه بعد عامه هذا وفيه شدة محبة الصحابة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spelled it out to Mu'adh, and it is apparent that Sayyidina Mu'adh's love for he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of an extremely intense level. Maradur Rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were the days and these were the verses drawing closer to the actual illness. Now we discuss the illness itself, the fatal illness, maradul wafat. And in the books of fiqh, there is ahkam pertaining to muhtadar and maradul wafat. So that is a person on the verge of death, and that is wasiyat, etc., regarding the moments of in a person's maradul wafat. You know, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah, okay, I don't want to digress, I'll come to the perhaps at a later time. Bad'u shikwa, the beginning of the illness and the sickness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which proved to be fatal and ultimately claimed he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. Raja'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min hajjatil wada' fi dhil hijjah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns from hajjatul wada'. I mentioned al-yawma akmaltu lakum was revealed 82 to 83 days exactly before the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So hajj has been concluded. He has returned back in the days of dhil hijjah. Fa'aqama bil Madinah. He remains in Medina the remaining days of dhil hijjah and that of Muharram and that of Safar. Of the 10th year of Hijrah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَبَدَأَ بِتَجْهِيزِ جَيْشِ أُسَامَةَ. And he starts mobilizing the army of Usama radiyallahu anhu. And we know this was to avenge a previous battle that had taken place. I don't want to go into too much detail of that. But he mobilizes this army. It's in his last days. He gathers the people. وَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ أُسَامَةَ. And he makes Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu the leader of this army. So Usama radiallahu anhu is the son of Zayd. Zayd radiallahu anhu was the adopted son and the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Usama was young. He was in his, youth, in his prime. Shabban yafi'an, just a young man. He was 18 years old. And again, a great message was given here. وَكَانَ مِنْهُمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. Amongst those that were present in this gathering, in this army, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So can you imagine that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he barely lived 2 years, right, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he also passed away at the age of 63. So that means Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was like 61 of age. Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu is 18 years of age. The experience, the vision, the maturity that Sayyidina Abu Bakr had, there's just no comparison. But he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again, is setting the record correctly and dispelling this type of reservation, because many people who were new into Islam were still apprehensive in accepting the leadership of someone who previously was a slave and liberated. They had certain issues to deal with that, and he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was putting an end to it. And now this was the son of Zayd radiallahu anhu. وَكَانَ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ زَيْدِ. Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was no more than 18 years. I'm reminded of that incident when Iyas bin Muawiyah was a great tabi'i, and he was very learned, and there's many incidents about him, and he was a very visionary human. And once he was leading an expedition, and Marwan ibn Abdul Malik came, and he was young, and behind him were prominent people, people of great age, stature, knowledge, etc. So Marwan ibn Abdul Malik said, "Ma sinnuka ya walad?" What's your age, O young man? He said, "Sinni ka sinni Usama ibn Zayd hina wallahu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." My age is the same like Usama ibn Zayd when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed him 18 years of age. Subhanallah. So there are many incidents. If only the youth of this ummah can take to this message and pick up from here. Imagine at the age of 18, my young brother, at the age of 18, the youth were once leading campaigns and expeditions, mobilizing the armies, and their congregation comprised of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. What was the level of trust of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this young lad? وتكلم البعض في تأميره وهو مولا وصغير السن على كبار المهاجرين والأنصار. Some people murmured, whispered, made some comments, remarks, apprehension, reservation, young, inexperienced, doesn't have age on his side, doesn't have maturity on his side. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not entertain it. فَلَمْ يَقْبَلِ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ طَعْنَهُمْ فِي إِمَارَةِ أُسَامَةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give any recognition or any clout or any, didn't entertain it whatsoever. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِن يَطْعَنُوا فِي إِمَارَتِهِ فَقَدْ طَعَنُوا فِي إِمَارَةِ أَبِيهِ. This is not the first time that people are expressing their reservation at his appointment. Previously, people were apprehensive at the appointment and the nomination of his father. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ, I swear by Allah, إِن كَانَ لَخَلِيقًا لِلْإِمَارَةِ وَإِن كَانَ لَمِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ. By Allah, he was deserving of leadership. That is Zayd radiallahu anhu. وَإِنَّ ابْنَهُ هَذَا. And his son is also deserving of leadership. His father was most beloved to me, and his son is most beloved to me. In fact, there's a narration of Tirmidhi. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that at times when mucus would run from the nose of Usama radiallahu anhu, and we would know that to clean the mucus of the nose of a person, it takes a parent or a grandparent. That is it. Nobody else can averagely or commonly do that. It takes that selflessness, and it takes that blood relationship to look beyond, where everything of your own is fine and it's good, and you don't take offense to anything. That this is it. I mean, when you find your grandchild, the first thing you want to do with your child is kiss the feet of that child. And if there's anything else, people want to run away from that. I normally play with the kids. In kindergarten, I say, you in school? And they're like, yeah. I say, okay, I want to quiz you a little bit. You smell with your nose. So they say, yeah. I say, and you run with your feet. So I said, then why do they say in English your nose is running and your feet are smelling? Anyway, that is love. Aisha radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would clean the mucus from the nose of Usama radiallahu anhu. And he would put Usama on his lap. So he was very, very fond and attached. And again, this is the beauty. Can you imagine, just like the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shaping the world before his arrival. Irhasat, that's the terminology. So Mu'jiza is post-Nabuwat, Irhasat is pre-Nabuwat. And in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasn't only pre-Nabuwat, it was pre-birth also. Because things were happening in the world because of him. So we don't refer to that as Mu'jizat, we refer to it as Irhasat. There were things happening in the sense that he fell down in the prostration, in the posture of sajda at birth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were so many other expressions that he gave off. I speak of this narration very often, which Allama Suyuti has made mention of it in his famous book. And he speaks on page 100 under the khasa'is, on the specialities of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was being nursed by his nursing mother and wet nurse, Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anha, then she says that when I latched him on the right side, he would drink. When I latched him on the left side, he wouldn't drink. And the ulama unpacked the potential wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not drinking. The point I'm saying, everything in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a guidance, was an inspiration, was a message, was a direction. قَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَا وَذَلِكَ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ لِأَنَّهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّ لَهُ شَرِيكًا فِي الرَّضَاعَ. That Nabi alayhi sallam respected the right of his foster brother. So just as his birth gave off a message, so was his demise and every step in that regard. I often say to people, you know, when a person is anxious and waiting for the arrival of a newborn, I say, you know, we commonly say, you won't go before your time. And they say, yeah. I say, well, in the same breath, you won't come before your time also. People, you know, in first child, false alarm, anxious, anxiety, just as there's a time to end, and that we commonly speak about, we need to know there's a time to begin also. But my point that I'm trying to impress here is, Nabi Sassim's nomination of Usama days prior to his demise was giving off a big message to the Ummah till the end of time. That in Islam, it's not age, it's not junior versus age, it's capability, it's competence, it's closeness, it's nobility. Those are the grounds on which, how many a times don't we see a revert to Islam surpasses a newborn Muslim. And that's it. There's nothing like there's a monopoly over deen, or you are anchored, or you're in a better position. وَبَيْنَمَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَبَيْنَمَا النَّاسِ يَسْتَعِدُّونَ لِلْجِهَادِ فِي جَيْشِ أُسَامَةِ اُبْتُدِئَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِوَجْعِهِ الَّذِي قَبَضَهُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ وَقَدْ حَدَثَتْ حَوَادِثُ مَا بَيْنَ مَرْضِهِ وَوَفَاتِهِ مِنْهَا. Now, in this period of time, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mobilized the army of Usama, appointed him, and he quelled the uneasiness regarding the nomination of Usama, from year till his death, it was few days, but many things happened, and we walk you through that now. An Abi Muwayhiba, Abu Muwayhiba radiallahu anhu says, who was the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this narration appears in all the chapters of hadith on the marad al-wafat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ba'athani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi jawfil layl. It was late night and the Nabi of Allah called for me. Faqala ya Aba Muwayhiba. He said, oh Abu Muwayhiba, can you imagine again the favor of this sahabi? It's the last moments when a parent is about to leave or a teacher is about to leave this world, then each student reminisces and cherishes that the ustad called me. My mom confided in me. My dad's last words were, I trust you, I appoint you. That was his confidence levels. This is the greatest of Allah's creation, and he's calling anyone at that moment. Can you imagine the honor of that individual? Oh Abu Muwayhiba, come along with me. Inni qad umirtu an astaghfira li ahli al-baqi' Allah has told me and instructed me to go and seek forgiveness on behalf of the occupants that reside in the cemetery of Baqi, Baqi'ul Gharqad. Fantaliq ma'i. So come along with me, join me and go. My word, my word. Fantalaqtu ma'ahu. So I move along with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Falamma waqafa bayna adhhurihim, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and entered. We get emotional when we stand in Baqi, and rightfully so, and we look at the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we look at the grave, and we imagine that this is that land around us. Here are all sahaba. Some of the qubur are more known than others, the likes of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, lower down is Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha, and many other sahaba, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the Nabi of Allah himself here, and Abu Muwayhiba is with him, and it is late night, it is late night. And he says, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-maqabir. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-maqabir. May the peace of Allah be upon you, O the dwellers of the grave. Right? You remember on the occasion of Badr, when the corpse of the infidels were dropped into the well. Badr is actually the name of a well. Like Muraysi'. Muraysi', another name for it was Ghazwa Bani al-Mustaliq, but it was also known as Muraysi'. فَلَقِيَهُمْ عَلَى مَاءٍ مِّن مِّيَاهٍ لَهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ مُرَيْسِعٍ. This was a name. So often the names of the battles were around wells. Just like Badr is a name of a well, Muraysi', Bani al-Mustaliq is also a name of a well. So the corpse of the disbelievers were dropped into the well. And Nabi Sassim came and he said, O so-and-so, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا. Have you seen what your Lord has promised you? And then one sahabi said, O Nabi of Allah, but the hadith is in Bukhari, and it's a famous question that appears in the exams as well. The sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, you addressing people that are dead and they are no longer alive. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they can hear better than you. It's just that they cannot reply and respond. So, As-salamu alaykum ahl al-maqabir. O the people of the graveyard, we greet you. Liyahna lakum. ما أصبحتم فيه مما أصبح الناس فيه أقبلت الفتن كقطع الليل المظلم يتبع آخرها أولها والآخرة شر من الأولى. Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam addresses them and says, great fitnas are coming. They have advanced like a portion of a dark night. A portion of a dark night. Right? These are the type of fitnas. Nabi sallam is spelling it out at that time. These fitnas have come. One would follow the other in succession, the latter being more intense than the first. Was it when Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu passed away? Then someone lowered him into the grave and said, Adrakta safwaha, that may Allah bless you. You've seen the greater part of this ummah, and you were rescued from the turbulent times of this ummah. You were rescued from the challenging times of this ummah. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيَّ. Then he looked at me and he said, يَا أَبَا مُوَيْهِبَ إِنِّي قَدْ أُوتِيتُ مَفَاتِحَ خَزَائِنِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْخُلْدِ فِيهَا ثُمَّ الْجَنَّةِ فَخُيِّرْتُ بَيْنَ ذَلِكْ وَبَيْنَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّي وَالْجَنَّةِ. أَوْ أَبُو مُوَيْهِبَ, I was given the choice of the keys of the treasures of this world and eternity in it, deathlessness in it, and ultimately paradise, or then meeting my Lord and Jannah. This was the choice I was given. Abu Muwayhiba said, when the Nabi of Allah told me this, I was still going to suggest and propose to him, opt for the keys of the treasures of this world, opt for the first proposal. But before I could even spell out my intention, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقُلْتُ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي خُذْ مَفَاتِيحَ خَزَائِنِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْخُلْدِ فِيهَا ثُمَّ الْجَنَّةِ. قَالْ لَا وَاللَّهِ يَا أَبَا مُوَيْهِبَ لَقَدْ اخْتَرْتُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّي وَالْجَنَّةِ. I said, O Nabi of Allah, opt for this year. Take the keys, take the treasures, and then ultimately it's still Jannah. And this is where we marvel at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I was given the choice that I could be Nabiyan Malika, Nabiyan Abda. I could be a prophet and a slave, and a prophet and a king. I could understand that if Allah gave the offer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you opt for slavery, then only you'll be crowned with prophethood. And if you choose an empire, then you won't be privileged with prophethood. Then it's obvious, we can understand why he sallallahu alaihi wasallam opted for a humble, simple life, so he could secure prophethood. But that wasn't the proposal given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inevitably, you are the best. You can have this nubuwwat with an empire, or nubuwwat with poverty. And we know the Urdu poet says it so beautifully, that may peace be upon that Nabi who badshahi mein faqeeri ki, who lived the life of a pauper when he was given the choice of wealth. Understand this here. And I always say there's a message here. There's a message here that there is a price to the obedience of Allah. There's a price to Jannah. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told that woman who was having her epileptic fits, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "In shi'ti sabarti wa lakil jannah, wa in shi'ti da'autu Allah an yu'afiq." If you want, I'll make dua to Allah, Allah will cure you. And if you want, I'll make dua, you persevere and Allah will give you Jannah. She didn't say, "Oh Nabi of Allah, make dua for shifa in Jannah." Oh Nabi of Allah, I mean, what's stopping you? Your duas are accepted. Make dua, Allah give me shifa in Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, it's this or that. There's a choice, there's a price. Fatima radiallahu anha came knocking. Oh Nabi of Allah, we have nothing. Fatima, I have 5 sheep. I can give it to you, or I can teach you 5 words. It was not, oh Nabi of Allah, give me the 5 sheep and teach me the 5 words. When you get everything, then on a full belly, if I teach you the 5 words, you won't appreciate that 5 words. But on a hungry belly, those words will live with you. They will have meaning with you. They will have something. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the option of Jannah inevitably. Oh Abu Muwayhiba, Allah said, the treasures of this world and then Jannah. Or then I opt for meeting my Allah in Jannah. So inevitably Jannah and Rafiq A'la is. But subhanallah, the message is very strong that this world is mundane, it's transitory, it's not the abode of a person. I'm like a traveler moving, resting under a tree and moving away. And that's why the scholars give a very amazing analogy from the Quran, and I just have this flash. Let me end this hadith here. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, O Abu Muwayhiba, thumma astaghfara li ahlil baqi." Then he asked Allah forgiveness for the people of Baqi. Now can you imagine, you say a pious man came to the grave of my late brother, uncle, teacher and made a dua, so and so came and made a dua, you're going to this town, please visit the graveyard, you know what, my dad's soul will feel good, pray and make dua, good luck. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and makes dua, thumma sarafa, and then he returns. فَبُدِئَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَجْعُهُ Abu Muwayhiba said, that was the point, we returned from the graveyard, and that was the point where the illness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commenced. So fortunate was Abu Muwayhiba. We are into the final moments of the blessed life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The choice at that last moment was, I could have the treasures of this world, and I could have all the other privileges, and ultimately Jannah, or meeting my Lord in Jannah, and I opted for the latter. And the point I want to mention here, and we'll conclude today's session on that inshallah, and resume with the discussion tomorrow, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nature of this world. So Allah says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. A verse of the 27 Juz, it's like rain. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. The tillage, the farming, appeals to the eye of the farmer and the tiller. That's one translation where kuffar is in a linguistic meaning and not in its literal meaning. But the apparent, the common, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ, like rain, أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ, that when the garden is green, it's lush, it's blossoming, it looks appealing to the eye of the disbeliever. That's the verse. The scholars of tafsir raise a question here, and this is the beauty of Quran. It's just too much. They raise a question that a green garden, a lushful garden, a blossoming garden is appealing to the eye of a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Why did Allah say it's appealing to the eye of a non-Muslim? Why did Allah say, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ? Right? أَعْجَبَ يُعْجِبُ إِعْجَابُ, impressive, pleasing. You know, it looks nice, looks great, looks awesome, looks amazing. Why did Allah say this here? And they give such a beautiful answer. And then Allah goes on, I'm not even going into the whole analogy. The analogy is to say that it's short, it's temporary, it's short-lived. And then after that, it starts to wither and becomes dry, and then it becomes rubble, and that's the end of it. And that's how the fluctuation of this world is. But they give the answer that a believer, even if something material and mundane looks good to him, it never obsesses him. It never consumes him. It never takes his, blows him off his back, because he knows it's temporary. It's great, but it's fine. The other day, I was at a restaurant, so a brother ordered some food, and then he ordered the drink. You know, many of the old folks have a passion for this pine nut, right? It's a bit of an acquired taste. Some have it like, that's what I think, iron brew and pine nut are one of those acquired tastes. So I just made a little humor. I said, original, right, my brother, the original pine nut. He said, no, man, Sheikh, original is only Jannat. I said, absolutely, my brother, you are right. You are right. A believer can enjoy the things of this world. He will never stagnate. It will never be ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ for him. It won't be the cutoff. It won't be the be-all. It won't be the ultimate for him. He knows it's great. Oh, mashallah, you moved into your new house. Great. Make dua. We have our own house in Jannah. That would be the eye of a believer. So that's the difference. That's why Allah said a garden, lush, beautiful, attractive, impressive. Allah didn't say it impresses the tiller or the farmer or the believer or the human. Allah says impresses the disbeliever. For someone who has no hope or scope beyond, for him it's the ultimate. But for a believer who looks beyond, it's beautiful, but nothing to write home about. Oh, Abu Muwayhiba, Allah gave me these choices, but I didn't want this year. My focus is towards Akhirah. We ask Allah to make us amongst those people which the Hadith speaks about and the Quran references, that أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, the one who Allah opens his bosom to Islam, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ, then he has a divine light from his Lord. And when the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is the proof of having a divine light? He said that the person, التجافي عن دار الغرور والإنابة إلى دار الخلود والاستعداد للموت قبل النزول. التجافي عن دار الغرور. He will live in the world, consume it, but the world will not consume him. He will possess the world, but the world won't possess him. I'm giving a loose translation and paraphrasing. Tajafa yatajafa means to separate. Tatajafa junubuhum anil mabaji. Ay tatabaadu junubuhum. At-tajafi an daril ghurur wal inabatu ila daril khulud. He's yearning, pining, inclining, longing for akhira. Wal isti'adadu lil mawti qabla nuzul. And preparation for death. Before death arrives. May Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.